Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Fighter's Voice with Don McGuire, presented by Finished MMA and the United Way Merced.
What up, it's your boy Slone Bone of the Mo Thugs Movement, part of the Bone Thugs and Harmony Family Tree, the 86ers brand ambassador. Check it out though, listen. In a world full of followers, be proud to be different. Be an 86er. So what I need y'all to do is go to the 86ers.net. We got the dopest apparel, men and women. Everything you need for a fresh start. I'm talking tees, zip-ups, tanks, hoodies, and the best hats at a price nobody can match. I'm going to ask you this, though. What do your clothes say about you? If you don't know, come to the 86ers.net and find yourself out. And a special shout out to Don McGuire, the host of The Fighter's Voice. Salute, big homie.
And we're live. Welcome to The Fighter's Voice. I'm your host, Don McGuire. I tell you, you know, when I reached out to this guest, I really didn't think we were going to get him this early after his fight. And the Lord bless the show as always. You know, and what's cool about this situation, as with most of my shows, is there's a story behind this warrior. And with that being said, I want to welcome the Boom to the show. What's up, Brian?
Boom, baby. What's going on? Thanks for having me. How are you, man?
Oh, I'm tremendous. Like I told you earlier, I wasn't letting you get out of the show. I was too excited. I'd already paid for the airtime. I was like, I'm getting this dude on. But you know, a lot of people look at you and they just see this man that steps up in the octagon and fights and this and that. But they truly don't know the perplexing side, the other side of who Brian Keller is. You know, the one thing I like to share on my show, as I told you before we went live, I like to share kind of a backstory of who you were. But the thing was, you did tremendous. You had a great career. And all of a sudden, something changed in your life. And it kind of took you on a backspin a little bit. What was it that, you know, you had to dig down deep in your heart and look for, Brian, before you stepped into the octagon at UFC 246? What was it that you had to define in you, the warrior?
Well, I think what you're kind of pointing out is how I felt after the John Lineker loss, which is what I can pinpoint myself is, you know, just complete devastation, you know, being heartbroken, seeing your vision just kind of crumble in front of you. You know, you focus so much on self-belief and, you know, visualization and manifestation as a fighter. You know, your goal is to become world champion. And so for me, you know, I kind of got myself to believe it's going to happen straight away. You know, I'm going to go straight to the top. I'm going to run through everybody and I'm going to become world champion. You know, to me, I think, you know, I was thinking about my age and I had to do it quick and get it done before it was too late. And that loss, you know, not only just losing to Lineker, but, and you know, not putting myself in title contention, but being knocked out was a big downfall for me to deal with, you know, and it was hard to handle because I never had been knocked out my whole career. You know, 28 pro fights at the time. I didn't know what it felt like, didn't think it was possible. You know, you think you're invincible when it never happens to you. And then you're sitting there like, wow, you know, this is the reality of a sport, you know. And, you know, I didn't have any crazy serious injuries after, but I have to admit that health became something that I started to think about more. And in this sport, I feel like the mentality that you need to have, it can't be focused on needing to be healthy as a human being in general. You know, it's something that started to distract me and started to kind of weaken me and make me fear the sport more and feel like I didn't know if I wanted to be here and question myself and stuff like that. And it took a long time. And I would, in all honesty, I would say when I went into the Montel Jackson fight, I wasn't healed from that moment. I was still dealing with it, but I was like, I have to fight. So I knew in my head that that was the case, but nobody else knows. You know, they just see another fight, and you're going in there and doing it again. But to me, it took longer than that. And finally, you know, how, I don't know, but I got rid of that feeling, and I reignited the flame that I once had by just simply looking deep within myself and finding the old Brian that still existed, but just digging deep to find him, you know. And I was like, you know what? Tune out everything else. Don't overthink anything. Just, if you're going to continue to fight, you're going to go in and you're going to be a savage and you're going to fight to the best of your potential. And I started to see that Brian come back in the gym. And that's when I knew that I was over it. You know, I saw myself in sparring become more aggressive, more passionate, more, you know, fire in me. And I was like, man, this is the Brian that I know. This is the Brian that can beat anybody in the world. So bring this Brian into this next fight and you'll be fine. And that's what happened.
Yeah, you couldn't eloquate it any much better than you did. You know, I don't like touching on losses because I call them learning aspects in the sport. I've been in the sport for 24 years as a photographer. This will be my 17th year in radio. You know, so I think James Krause put it very, very bluntly to a Q&A, and I loved it. Somebody asked him, what's it like to be 22-7? He said, I'm not 22-7. I'm 22-0 with 7 lessons learned. And, you know, you're right. You know, a fighter gets to a point in his career where they haven't lost, they haven't suffered, you know, that knockout. And so you do get kind of headstrong. But after that, what you did is miraculous. To me, your story meant more than, oh, you were up for contract negotiations or you had to get this win to stay in the UFC. To me, this was a fight that defined who you are, not just as a warrior, but as a man. Would you say that's a fair assumption?
Yeah, 100%. And you know, now hearing you say that, it's, you know, it kind of reassures myself that, you know, that's how I look at it too, is like, it's a lot deeper to me than just winning a fight, you know, and keeping my job. You know, I know that's very important to me, but like James Krause is saying, you know, you find lessons to learn through these moments, through these trials and tribulations that make you grow not only as a fighter, but as a person. And now looking back, it's amazing to see that I got through that and found that fire again, all on my own, to be honest, really. And got a victory after all that, and felt amazing doing so. You know, with all the pressure that was subconsciously there, I didn't feel any of it going into the cage. I was able to tune it all out and keep a cool, calm, collected energy about me throughout the whole fight week. And I was so proud of myself for doing that, because in the back of my head, I knew what I was facing.
Yeah. You know, well, that was a hell of a fight, bro. I got to hand it to you. You know, going in like you did, coming off that situation of thought and perception and self-perspective of yourself, you know, it's like you said, it's got to be hard. But as you stated, the whole fight week, it felt different. Something felt tremendous about the situation. You know, you went in against Odey Osborne, not a bad fighter, you know, someone who's making a name for himself, coming up strong, and you choked him out in the first round. How sweet was that to you? Not on the victory side, but in the heart and the passion of the boom.
Yeah, 100%, man. I mean, the best way to describe it is like just pure, absolute relief, you know, just to, you know, you put everything into this game, you know, the sacrifices. That's the song I came out to, Big Sean, Sacrifices. And like the reason why is because I wanted to kind of remind myself, like, remember all the sacrifices that you do to be at this level of this sport, you know, and all the dedication that you put in. You know, sometimes you forget because it just becomes you, it just becomes your lifestyle, and you don't really sit back and ever kind of appreciate how hard you work. You know, you're like, oh, I go to the gym and train hard every day, that's me, that's what I do. But I look back and I'm like, man, I put too much work into this, too much of my life, my heart and soul into this. Missed a lot of different things in life that, you know, you wouldn't prefer to miss, but it's what it takes to be the best. And that's what I was willing to do to get to this level and try to, you know, get to a title eventually in my life. So to beat O'Day, who was a very tough fighter, I knew he was dangerous and willing to take risks in there. It was just an amazing feeling to be able to know that I'm back. You know what I mean? Like I'm back to my winning ways, and now we can put all that other stuff to rest.
Oh, most definitely, because you've had a tremendous career, and a lot of people. That's one thing I kind of chuckle about this sport, because they'll say, you know, like, let's take, well, you fought on, you know, the Cerrone McGregor card, and a lot of people are, you know, you see it like I do every week. They come out with the new fights, and you got somebody who's an expert on what it is to be a fighter, and they truly don't understand the pressures and all the stipulations that come with what you do. And, you know, man, I got to tell you, you came out, you proved yourself, you showed the world that you were back. That's got to be a tremendous feeling. But a lot of my listeners don't know how mentally, physically, you know, daunting, you know, it is to be a fighter and to walk or correlate yourself with the sport. How hard is it for you, you know, in that aspect, each and every day in your walk, brother?
Well, here's the thing that I realize, you know, it's how much you love what you do that makes that determines how difficult it feels inside of you, you know. And for me, part of the reason and the struggle that I was going through after that loss was, you know, my love for the game, how I felt towards the sport, my emotions towards everything, you know, just trying to figure out where I was at. What do I really want? You know, how do I get back to that? And, you know, finding that fire within me, it helps training become so much more fun, more enjoyable, you know, you know, day in and day out, it's what, you know, would you want to do anything else is what you ask yourself. You're like, no, hell no. This is what I know. This is my dream. And I made it to the pinnacle and I'm here and, you know, I'm going to do everything I can to stay here. So, it doesn't mean that it's not amazingly difficult, but if you love what you do, it feels a lot less difficult, you know. And you know, but there's just so much that goes into it. There's so much dedication, sacrifice, time, you know. And people don't see all of that, you know. I got to eat at a certain time, a certain amount of food, and I got to digest for a certain amount of time so I feel good in my training session. I got to get these supplements in me at this time, and you know, I can't go to this family party because, you know, I don't want to, you know, go off of my routine, and I want to make sure I feel good for this. I got to sleep a certain amount of time, and, you know, sometimes, you know, in the past, I'd have to have my girlfriend, you know, leave because I slept better alone. And it's like stuff like that where people don't see that kind of stuff that you have to sacrifice. And it's not necessarily what you want to do, but it's what you know is working best for you. So there's just so much that goes into it. And sometimes it's hard to deal with how selfish the sport can be, because you want to be an unselfish person. You know, you want to be selfless. You want to give back to others. But sometimes you got to put yourself first for the most part to be the best fighter in the world.
Yeah, you truly do, and, you know, you're a fine example of that. You know, you kind of remind me, and I hope you don't mind me getting a little sidetracked here, but my good brother-in-law, Diego Lima, you know, I had been doing shows with him for years, and he had broken his hand, and he hadn't fought in a year and a half. And I called him up. I said, hey, bro, come on the show. He says, nah, man, screw that. He says, nobody's calling me. Nobody wants me to fight for them anymore. Blah, 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 blah. I said, man, just come on the damn show. And so he came on, and 3 days after being on the show, Titan FC hit him up and offered him an opportunity. And so he took it, and he won. And then they offered him another opportunity, and it was for the strap. And so he went and fought for the welterweight strap, and he won. And he said, hey, man, I'm going to send the belt and gloves to you. And I said, no, man, just give them to your kids. That's what it's meant for. I said, but I told you, bro, I said, you come on the show, you know, let people know who you are and what you're about. And I said, and things will happen for you again. And you're the true testament to that story, because you've got all these people, all these critics in the sport. And this is why I hate all the shows. They're saying, you know, well, he's on a skid. you know, that he's probably not going to get re-signed, this and that. But these people don't ever go back and look and see who you fought. They don't see the man that built this wall, this impenetrable force that you've built in this sport. I mean, you've created a foundation in this sport that is second to none. My only question to you is, which fight was more sweeter, the fight between you and Barreo or the fight with you and Ode Osborne?
That's a hard question to answer, man, but a good question because, you know, it's hard to gauge the feeling after a fight. One way I can explain it in how it's different, but both so, you know, gratifying is like with the Barreo fight, I got to actually display my whole entire game within, you know, throughout three rounds of back and forth exchanges and a tough battle against a former world champion. You know, and for me, Barreo was like this person who I had haunted myself with in my sleep because, you know, I had been watching this guy reign as champion before I was ever in the UFC. And now here he is standing across the cage from me. So it was quite surreal to see that and then to perform the way that I did and really display everything about who I am as a fighter, you know. And so that was why that victory was so satisfying. But with the Ode Osborne fight, it was really more so about the implications involved, the trials and tribulations, the ups and downs, the struggles that I dealt with prior to that fight, the position that I was in fighting out the last fight on my deal, knowing the pressures that came with, you know, going in there to fight a newcomer who, you know, everyone knows from the outside in, the situation was laid out for you. It was like, we got a contender series guy with a lot of hype. We're going to see if he can take Brian Kelleher's place or does Brian Kelleher still belong here? And that was the question of this fight. And that's what I proved. And there was just a lot of emotion that went into that victory, you know, the feeling after, just probably the most relieving victory that I've ever had.
Yeah, most definitely. You know, it's funny because we sit back in this sport and, you know, especially like for me, when I start interviewing you guys as amateurs and watch you grow and grow and grow into the sport. And then it's like you have these defining moments, different aspects that you can add to you. And it just, I don't know, it's cool to see that. A lot of people in the sport that love the sport, they probably don't appreciate the growth aspect as much as, you know, people like us that interview you, take pictures of you, and get to know you on a different aspect. You know, this was one of the most tremendous weekends for the UFC in a long time. It was a hell of a card. But the thing that I took away from it the most, to be quite honest with you, was your fight and the fight with Roxanne Modafari versus Macy Barber. Those were my two favorite fights on the card that night. You know, what does it mean for you to have the people in your life that push you, the people that instill intent, the people that, you know, guide you kind of on this walk or just give you the words of wisdom that you need to hear in your ear? How precious was it for you to get that victory for those people?
Oh, it was amazing, man. I mean, I can't thank those people enough, you know, for the loyalty and, you know, the belief in me, you know, even in times where you question your own self-belief, you know, those are the people that truly believe in you no matter what happens. And they try to pick you up when you feeling down and you know, have these doubts creeping in and you're trying to find yourself again. And those are, you know, my family, my parents. Without those people, you know, I wouldn't be here today for sure. You know, not everybody has, you know, the most supportive parents in the world and a happy home to come home to. And you know, people who just love you to the extent where they don't care what you do. They just want you to be happy and they support you 100% in doing so. And, you know, my parents, they watch every one of my fights. My dad's been in my corner before. You know, he was there in the arena at this last fight, you know. They actually put him up on the Jumbotron after I won, which was a beautiful moment because, you know, I don't even know how they found him out there, but he was out in his seat. And as soon as I won, they put the camera onto him, and he was, like, screaming, you know, at the top of his lungs, and I saw that, and it's just, like, you see, you know, how proud your dad is of you for your success, and, like, that just means everything to me because, you know, for my dad, like, he's the person I look up to as a man, you know, to try to be as good of a man that he is, you know, is, like, it's just amazing to be able to share my dreams with them, you know, they're just so excited to see me, you know, succeed on the big stage in the UFC, knowing that it was just a dream, you know, at some point when I would watch before I was ever in there, just like, wow, I think I could do this, you know, and now they see, oh my God, like my son is doing this. Like he's there on the TV. Like it's probably like surreal for them, you know, to be sitting back and watching this. And I sometimes sit back and I think about that. I'm like, you know, I'm glad I could bring my parents this kind of excitement in this lifetime.
That's beautiful, homie. That really is. I mean, that's dope as hell because you're giving back, and that's just really cool. You know, in a lot of ways, I was going to ask you a question that I ask world champions, but I think you've kind of really answered the question, but also, I think you're redefining it. You know, I was going to ask you what pride, passion, and perseverance means to you. So, but you really have defined it in a whole new aspect. So, I guess the best way to do it is to ask you truly to define what is pride, passion, and perseverance. What does it truly mean to you, homie?
Well, pride is just truly, you know, genuinely appreciating your hard work and you know, being able to take a back step and analyze how far you've come and, you know, all the time put in and all the sacrifices you've made to get to where you were and to understand, you know, how much self-belief that took and how much, you know, persistency that took. And you know, since day one jumping in the gym, you know, I genuinely knew in my heart, like I was going to be here, you know, and I never let that ever leave me, you know, and through the wins, through the losses, I never once thought it's not going to happen. You know, I got a full-time job one time, you know, when I was getting a little older, I had to start making some money and I was you know, maybe 10 and 7 at the time. And I was just an average guy at that time. Oh, 10 and 7, just an average fighter, you know, like, this guy's not going to go anywhere far. He's 10 and 7, you know, almost a 50-50 record. Well, at that moment when I got that full-time job, I knew in my heart, like, I don't want to do anything but be a UFC fighter. I knew that. I wasn't happy working. I was just doing it for the paycheck. And so I was so motivated, and I would not take no for an answer. And that's when I went on a 6-fight win streak, and I had beat all the prospects that I could possibly beat that were in talks with going to the UFC next. And so, you know, that brought me a lot of pride to know that I got through all of that and got to where I am. And what's the second one? I know perseverance is the third one. What's the second one?
The first one was pride, and the second one was passion.
Passion, yeah, that's passion is what fuels you to keep going, you know, and to continuously keep that at a high level and bring that with you to the gym. And, you know, that's something that I've always had in me since I was a kid. You know, I grew up as an athlete playing multiple sports, you know, and I can, you know, attest this to, you know, my family as well, growing up with two brothers, one older, one younger. You know, being the middle child, you know, and having competition my whole life because, you know, I followed my older brother's footsteps. You know, he played soccer and then I played soccer and he would play basketball outside and hockey outside. And I would jump in these games, but I would always be younger. So I would always be clawing and trying to fight for my respect, you know, like I want to be as good as you guys, you know, but everyone was just a little bit older than me. So they were a little more matured. And, you know, I was, you know, trying to catch up, playing catch up my whole life. I think that really brought that passion out in me and really made it something special for me as I grew up, you know, and just the athleticism that I had as a young kid. I remember being like 5 years old playing soccer and knowing in my head as a 5-year-old kid that I was something special, and not in a cocky way, but just feeling it in my soul, like something's different. Like, I feel like I'm on a different level than these other kids. That's how I felt on the soccer field. And, like, I remember, like, you know, watching my games and seeing it. Like, I'm running through these kids like I'm on a different level, and I'm scoring these goals and this and that. And I was just a very athletic kid, you know. Everything I did, I picked up pretty fast. It could have been racquetball. It could have been bowling. I've done it all, man. You know, hockey, soccer. I would play, you know, street basketball games. I'm only 5'6", so I'm not going to get rebounds, but I'm sinking shots, you know. But I've always been an athlete, man, and I feel like growing up in that atmosphere just really raised that passion level for me. And, you know, for perseverance, you know, that's the type of stuff you need when things get rough, you know, when things are not going your way and there's a voice telling you to quit and it's telling you you're not good enough and it's telling you, you know, maybe your time's up. And that voice will come and it will try to talk you out of this thing, you know, and it will try to stop you and make you feel like, you know, time's up and I should probably just, you know, find something else to do in this life. And that's the voice that I choose not to listen to. And that's what perseverance is to me.
That's dope. That is so dope. I like the way you put that, bro. You know, everybody got to see the enthusiasm, the joy in your face, you know, the moment the ref stopped the fight. Everybody got to see that aspect on television play out. But a couple hours later, you made it back to your hotel room. And, you know, sometimes in life we walk by a mirror or we walk by a puddle and we just get that one glance into that moment or an aspect of life. What did you see when you had that alone time a couple hours after the fight in your hotel room? What did you see in your heart?
I just saw that, like, I made it happen, you know, that what I truly believed deep down in my core was true, and that, that finding myself, you know, in the gym and that fire and that reigniting that flame, like I was saying, that it was all true and that, you know, I just needed to focus my attention on this and I needed to keep that same energy throughout the whole fight week. I think, you know, consistency in how you manage your energy and your thoughts is such an important thing during fight week, because I'll say this, like, it's a roller coaster of emotions, you know, and you're dealing with voices that, you know, this is a scary thing. This is just human to have a little bit of fear come in, a little bit of nerves, you know, anxiousness and a little bit of overthinking. And, you know, I was able to manage all of that and just feel calm and just feel confident and happy and really live in the present moment, which is, you know, it's a struggle for me sometimes. You know, I'm not always in the present moment, you know, but for this fight, I made sure that I was. And it was a beautiful feeling because I was taking it all in as it was happening. I remember before the fight, you know, I look back when I get to my hotel room and I kind of do a little replay in my head. And that's like the funnest thing to do because you kind of get to relive it after you just did it. And I remember just thinking about before I walked out, I was just smiling. I just chose to just smile. And I said, Brian, no matter what, enjoy this moment. You don't know how long this is going to last. You're lucky you're here and you've gotten this far and you've made it to this point. So just smile and enjoy this and live in this moment and leave all your potential in there and there'll be no regrets. And like, that was like my main takeaway. And, you know, just amazing gratification, just laying there, just pure relief. And honestly, like, being free is one of the best ways to explain it, because, you know, you have so much buildup before these fights with how you live your life and the, you know, the strict lifestyle that you live and being selfish, like I said. And then finally for that moment after that fight, you realize I could just be a normal person for just a little bit. And it's the most beautiful feeling.
Right. You know, this is cool because, you know, it's theoretically, I mean, the second chapter and the boom, you know. So if you had to paraphrase, let's say you broke out a book and you opened it up to a blank page, and it was entitled The Second Chapter. What would that first statement state now after the opportunity you had with O'Day Osborne?
Well, I think I'm going to be a thief right now and kind of steal someone else's catchphrase, but I think it's very fitting. I would title it The Resurrection. Shout out to Jorge, because I don't know if people noticed, but I started out the fight in honor of him as well with the hands behind my back. I was kind of plotting something, but for me, I know it's only the second chapter in the book. Maybe there is only two chapters, who knows, but this is The Resurrection for sure.
Almost definitely, and there's going to be many more chapters to come, my friend. You know, it's kind of crazy because now the world has taken notice. You got bumped to the pay-per-view card, which meant you fought 2 hours before Conor McGregor. You know, it kind of probably added a little bit more jitters to fight night. I mean, I'm sure it did. But, my friend, you went out there and you showed the world that you were back, and you did it in style. You know, it was a true honor to see you go out there as a gladiator and find yourself. That's what this sport is truly all about. You know, people all the time, you know, they say, oh, well, this person's got it or that person's got it, but you never know who's got it until the door is closed and the bell rings. You know, every fight is a new opportunity for each fighter. But, my friend, you went out there and you showed the world that we could drop the boom again, baby. That's the only way I could say it, man, because I was so proud of you when you submitted him so quick, but you did it in style. You know, that was a tremendous moment in your life. I'm going to give you the mic for a second because I like to do this on my show and I like to put people on the spot. You know, you talk so gracefully about your parents and how much, you know, their support means to you. Well, why don't you, for a moment, tell them how much, you know, their support means to you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I can't even explain it in words. It's like, you know, sometimes you don't realize, like, how much luck kind of goes into this, because I think even deeper than just, you know, what I have, you know, I look at it as I was born from two people that lived in the United States in this kind of atmosphere, two people that have the most loving hearts, you know, the most caring hearts, the most supportive mindsets, willing to do anything for their kids at any moment, you know, and they show that with great passion. And it's very admirable because, you know, I'm not a father yet, but like, I can't imagine, you know, matching their parent skills in my life, but it's definitely, the bar is definitely set high. You know, they've given us all the ability to do whatever we wanted to do in this life and feel safe in doing so, and you know, guided us to be just overall good human beings. And you know, they've showed us what, you know, being a loving couple is. You know, not everyone has parents that stay together, stick together through the years, you know, and my parents have, and, you know, they still, you know, are very affectionate towards each other and show a lot of love. And I think that's great to see. And I think that really helps me become the person I am and have the heart that I have. And, yeah, I mean, I couldn't, you know, I couldn't say thank you enough, because I truly wouldn't be here if it wasn't for them, you know, guiding me and being behind me through the whole journey, you know, being at every one of my fights and, you know, picking me up when I'm down and, you know, when I make mistakes, you know, being behind me and supporting me and teaching me the right ways and keeping me on the right path, you know, because as a kid, you know, I was hyper and I would do stupid things to make people laugh. And, you know, I could have easily went down the wrong path, but they definitely kept me in the right direction. And I'm proud that, you know, they're my parents and where I've gotten in my life is definitely dedicated to them for sure.
That's dope. You know, it's kind of crazy because you're just a month. My son was born on July 19th, 1986, and you were born on August 19th, 1986. So you're just a month younger than my son. So I'm sure your parents are proud. You know, I wanted to ask you this question because I like to ask certain fighters this question because it's going to happen in your career. You're a hell of a fighter. I don't look at, like I said, losses as anything that are going to hold anybody back. But what does it mean to you, like with Barreto? You know, I don't know if he was an idol, but one day you're going to have to, you know, your idols are going to become your rivals. How are you going to handle that situation when that occurs, son?
Well, like, as far as, like, me fighting another, like, an idol again, or as far as, like, me being the idol of someone else?
No, you fighting somebody that you've looked up to in the sport, because, let's face it, you know, you're capable, the ability is there, you have the heart and passion of a champion. It's undoubtable that you're going to face one of the greats in your weight class. You know, how are you going to handle that situation when that day does come to an occurrence?
Well, I mean, that was Barreto, to be honest, when I fought him. So I know for sure the proof is in the pudding. I can handle that situation with flying colors. So I think it's beautiful that I got the experience to kind of do that already, because now when it comes again, it's like, hey, I've been here. I've done this. Like, I know I idolized this guy at one point, but now it's time to take his spot. You know, it's boom time. So, you know, I got to go in there and do my thing and show my worth and take their spot, you know. But I look forward to that happening again. And, you know, I'm sure it will. But it's all about making sure that you don't put a face on the body and you don't put a name on the person. You're just fighting another fighter that, you know, is just another style. And you got to solve that puzzle and beat him, and that's it.
That's dope. You know, you've taken out the UFC's top prospect. Who would the boom like next?
You know what, man? I would like to fight in April 18th in Brooklyn. I know I mentioned Sean O'Malley on my post-fight interview. I don't want to waste a call-out because I just don't know if he'll be ready. You know, I know he's fighting in February. So, unfortunately, right now, I don't have, like, a promo to cut on somebody, and I don't think I necessarily
to
because, you know, my position – yeah, my position right now is, like, I'm willing to just keep winning and work my way back up to the top 15. I mean, I'll lay out my plans is to fight April 18th, you know, get a big win, whoever that is, and then fight three or four times this year at least and put myself back in the top 15 by the end of the year.
That's a hell of a plan, bro. You know, I'm going to ask you one more question, and then I'm going to hand the mic to you, and we'll kind of wrap things up because I know you're a little worn out and need a little bit of rest coming off a tremendous victory like that. But, you know, like I said, my show is a little bit different than most shows. I tend to, they call me the Barbara Walters of MMA. Don't let Pat Miletich hear you say that or he'll school me. But, you know, I like to hand the mic to the fighters and let them say a word of gratitude to the fans, to the people that, you know, we're there fight night, that truly support you and truly never stop believing in you. What words would you like to say to the fans of the Boom?
Oh, man, you know, the Boom fans, much appreciation, man. Much love to those people who stick behind me and who spend their hard-earned money to come watch me put on a performance, you know, and that's why I always go in there and try to finish the fight, you know, because I always want to put on a good fight and a good performance for the people that are watching, you know. And not just for myself, but knowing that, you know, without that stadium filled up, you know, there's no event, you know, there's nothing. So, you know, I think people should recognize that it's an amazing vibe in the arena, you know, with the energy of the fans. I feed off of that. I love it. And so, you know, I just want to say thank you, everyone, all the Boom fans out there that are following my career. And I've gotten so many messages since the fight, and I'm not able to respond to every single one, but I wish I could. But I really appreciate it. It's touching to see how many people that you touch, you know, that you inspire when you don't even realize it. That makes it all worth it.
Yeah, it was beautiful watching your page light up, homie. I'm not going to lie. I was, to be quite honest with you, thank you for answering my inbox. I mean, that meant the world to me because I looked at your page and there's like hundreds of posts and it's like, man, this kid just showed the world, and that's why I wanted to have you on the show. I think what you're doing is tremendous. I looked at a lot of your past fights, and I've been following you for a little bit on Facebook. You got what it takes, kid. Go out there and show the world what the boom really is, and keep being you, man. I'm glad you found yourself. I'm glad you were able to dig deep, because that was a whole new you at UFC 246, and I'm sure he's going to stay here for a long time to come. At that point, I'm going to hand the mic to you, my friend. Any sponsor? Well, you're with the UFC, so you may or may not have sponsors. But any sponsors, friends or family, social media sites, or just anything else you'd like to add to the program, the floor is yours, brother.
Yeah, no, thank you, man, for having me. It was a great interview. I'm glad you pushed me to man up to my word. I just want to thank everybody around me that shows me love and support. You know, my family, my loved ones, my team, you know, 10th Planet Jiu-Jitsu, Long Island MMA, No Limits Kickboxing with Rick Schaefer. Bill Hirsch was helping me, this guy, with the boxing work. We had a lot of different angles that we were hitting, but sponsorship-wise, you know, we got the Terp House with my CBD, MHP, my supplement sponsor, the Float Place, Vita Cryotherapy, a lot of people behind the machine, you know, that are helping you get to the fight as healthy and as fit as possible. So, you know, everything, you know, every little thing means a lot to get me to perform to the best of my ability. So thank you to everybody, the fans. I appreciate the love. Boom.
Hey, most definitely. Hey, next time I'm in Jamaican Queens, I'm going to call you as a bodyguard, because there's a Jamaican jerk chicken place that I love there, but I'm just too scared to go to. But I'll hit you up, man. And we'll,
hit me up, man.
I'll buy you lunch, bro.
Chicken.
Yeah. Hey, on the real, thanks, homie. What you did.
Hey, man.
Class act.
No problem,
brother.
Man.
Class act.
No
class
problem,
act,
man. I appreciate it, man.
All right. You have a good night. And God bless you, brother. And thank you for coming on the show.
You as well. Thank you, man. Have a good night.
All right. God bless. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Brian Kelleher. That was, I don't know, man. I was a little off tonight, but that's what happens when you hit 55 and you don't take your Geritol. No. Oh, shit. That's a tremendous young man. To all my listeners on iHeart, Univision, and CastBox, the more downloads, the more the show gets played live in succession next week. To the people on the FM transmitter, thank you for tuning in. You know, it was a tremendous young man that we had on the show tonight. I am truly honored that we were able to get somebody that is still young but is growing so quick. With that being said, I want to thank my sponsors, Finished MMA with Juan Martinez, Cut Man for Hire with Jacob Stitch Duran and Juan Ramirez, Bite Me Mouthguards with Joe Rice, and the one and only 86ers with Alfred and Freddie. On that note, here's some Soul Rebel Project. Have a good night, and God bless.
Touch.